am. He's in a couple days, he's going to be in Houston. He's moving to Houston to take over a position as a campus pastor over there. And I just think God knew. There's no way I could have arranged this. We've been talking about moving to Gainesville. I've been having you pray for the building. That the day I'm going to give you some amazing news, we have a man with us that's really brought us to this place, helped us. Some of you don't even know Jason. You're kind of new, or even if you've been around, that he has walked with us for the last 5 years and helped us to transition from, like I tell you often, 51% of the churches in America are in decline. It's because what they've always done, that's what they always do. And you get stuck in your rut, and you don't want to change because, you know, you have the model, that's the way we've always done it. And we found ourselves in that same position. After, you know, 12 years of being a church, that's what happens. And what happens is society changes. The message never changes, but the methods have to keep up with how to reach, you know, the young people, basically. And we found ourselves in that position where we were dying, you know, and we were seeking help, and we found it in ARC, we found it in GROW, and we found it in this man right here, Jason Humphrey, because he was able, y'all don't know the sacrifice that he made and how much he means to me, but at the time that he became our coach for our church, he was working full-time at a hospital as a project manager in IT, and they were under a big project. And so we talked on Saturdays, which is his day off and time to spend with his family, and he would give about usually 2 hours every Saturday, give up his Saturday, be playing with the kids and talking to me, or he might be at a game. And I thought, man, what a sacrifice, what he's doing. Yeah. To help us walk through and understand the transition. It's one thing to hear from, you know, okay, here's how it works. And then you start doing it. It's like, it's not working like they said. And Jason said, well, what about this? And, oh, okay, just little things tweaking. I can't tell you how valuable it was to me to know during the week, well, I can talk to Jason on Saturday and ask him why it's not working. And he was such a blessing. He loves our church, and he prays for our church. And today we're taking a huge step as a church. And I couldn't have arranged it that God's got him here today. And he's going to tag on after I share with you what's going on. He's got something that just goes right along with that. But I've been asking you for the last 2 months to pray about a possible opportunity to move to Gainesville. We've been talking over a year about getting serious about moving to Gainesville and pulling out all the stops and everything. And so I ask you to pray. And last year we said we're gonna do everything that we can to move to Gainesville. We outlined 5 strategies, which I'll go over in a minute. And today we have an opportunity to make this happen. We've been negotiating for 2 months, and that's why I've been asking you to pray, and I keep saying push. Pray until something happens. Because of a year of looking, it's like there's places out there, but like here's the rent that we're paying now, and we kept finding 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. And it's like, how do you make that jump? I know we're going to grow, but you need a little time to get from here to here. So we kept looking, and not only were the rents 4 and 5 times what we're paying, but there was remodeling costs anywhere from $50,000 to $200,000. So it's like, that would be a nice place. Impossible, 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 impossible. And honestly, I almost felt like, hey, I don't know. I don't know if it can ever happen. And we've been praying, and a lot of you know I took a sabbatical the month of June. There's a building that I'm about to tell you about. It's not far from here. It's a great location. And it was for sale, and during this process of the last year, it had a for sale sign. I called. The price was way beyond what we could afford. And again, the rent was 4 times, you know, what we're paying now. So I was like, okay, check that one off. And on the last day of my sabbatical, the month of June, I was just laying on the bed praying. And I just, you know, I didn't hear the audible voice of God, you know, but I just had a real strong impression, call Howard Freeman. Well, he was the realtor that was listing that. And it's not, the sign came down and I see cars. So I'm like, well, somebody rented it, you know. And that was just provident. I mean, it was just, I just had a real strong, like, call Howard Freeman. I just got up, went to the phone, called Howard Freeman. It was funny you should call me. He said, we've got it leased out. He said, but now it's on month to month. And he said, we were just the partners. I'm part of the group, the partner. He was the realtor, but he says, there's a partnership group that owns the building. He said, we just talked last night. We're going to put it back on the market. He said, well, those people are in there for another month. He said, call me at the end of the month. So I called him back, and then we started this dialogue that I've been keeping you. And at first it seemed like, okay, it's impossible, but I really feel like it's a miracle that we've even been able to get this far and work this out. So we finally came to an agreement, and it's something that we can work with. But first I want to tell you the why, because I don't want to just tell you, you know, the nuts and bolts. I want to come back to why, because if you lose the why, it gets mechanical, okay? And here's the why. Number one, when we were in Gainesville, because we were in Gainesville the first 8 years as a church in either the Holiday Inn or a middle school, which is a little bit of a challenge, but even in a middle school, we were averaging, what's our mission as a church? Win souls, make disciples. Win souls, make disciples. Okay, you got to win souls in order to make disciples. We were averaging leading 145 people to the Lord a year. 145 a year. That was our average for 8 years. Since we've been in Micanopy, we average 50. I don't need to say anything else about why. I have a couple other things to share with you. But if you don't know anything else, we can go, and I believe when we go back to Gainesville, we're going to do even better than 145, because we've learned a lot of things on how to connect people. You know, message hasn't changed, but we weren't doing good. We didn't have small groups. We weren't connecting people with their destiny and getting them, you know, to take next steps. We're gonna do a lot better. We're doing a lot better at the nuts and bolts of helping people. So I believe we're going to do even better. But even if we only go back to where we were, you're talking about three times. So that's an extra 100 people a year. In 10 years, that's 1,000. The difference is 1,000 souls. So right there, that's a why. Another reason why is that, you know, Michael Crames is raising his own support to go in full-time campus ministry come January. And he's already hit the ground running. He's already got some support. It's going good, which means in January, we're going to have a guy full-time on campus. Now, the building I'm going to tell you about is 10 miles up the road, so it's 10 miles closer to campus. It's 1 mile from campus. So if that's not sovereign and God working it together. And then the third reason is that our mission is to win souls and make disciples. Bottom line, that's our mission, win souls, make disciples. I live in Micanopy. I like Micanopy. The point is not to have, you know, a church close to your house. It's close to where the souls are. And so the why is about the kingdom. And another reason why we even exist at all is that, statistically speaking, Gainesville or Alachua County is one of the least church, if not the least church county in the whole country, believe it or not. Because the one that they like to give San Francisco is 60% unchurched. Alachua County is 80% unchurched. So what an opportunity we have. As we release Michael onto the campus, we send missionaries all over the world. It costs an average $70,000 a year to send a missionary to another country. He doesn't look like those people. He doesn't speak their language. He doesn't know their culture. God has providentially sent an average, any given year, there's an average of people from 100 different nations at the University of Florida. What we need to do is reach them. It doesn't cost anything to send them back. They know the language. They know the culture. They're going to have a top job. That's an opportunity we have. We need to be closer. Campus ministry has always been a big part of Victory Church, and we can do it better, closer. We started in Gainesville. You say, well, why are you down here? We never intended to be here more than about a year. When we were in the school, we bought the 10 acres of land on Rocky Point Road, and we thought, okay, we'll have a building up in about a year. The school was changing their policy on rental. They were doubling our rent. It was going to be a lot higher. Just for Sunday morning, it was going to be almost twice what it is here. So we said, let's move to Micanopy, and we'll have that building built in about a year. But because it's Alachua County, it took 6 years to get our permit approved. So, and then when we got it approved, in case you're wondering, why are you even down here? Seemed like it logical move, be here, and as soon as the building's built, boom, we move over to the land. Well, it took 6 years to get the permit, and then by the time the county got done with us as far as changing the structure of the building to meet their requirements, we had a bank commitment of $650,000, and when we bid it out the way the county wanted it built, same building, it was over $1 million. So we didn't have we had a gap there. We've never been able to bridge that gap. That's why we're here. That's why we're still here. So a year ago, we said we're going to do whatever we can to move back to Gainesville. And we said, here's the five things that were on the table. Number one was ARC, which is talk to ARC, see if they can set up some funding or something. They don't have a program for that, so that hasn't worked out. Number two was leverage the land. What we realized on that was, okay, if you borrow against the land, we have to start paying that back immediately. So whatever you want your rent payment to be, you have to subtract that, which was all the rents and gains will start up here. So that didn't pan out. Sell the land, number three. So the land has been for sale since we talked about this a year ago. It's been on the market for over a year. If you drive by, you see a big sign out there. It's on the multiple. And immediately we started getting hits on it. We had some offers. We have had a couple deals. But think about it. Like some people are like, well, why didn't you just sell it? Well, land is different than a house. If you're selling a house, it's pretty easy. 30, 60-day closing. People don't want land. They want what they can do with the land. We're selling it for commercial. In other words, they want to know they're going to be able to build the commercial venture that they want to build. So the first one, it was a really good offer. They wanted to put a hotel on it. Okay, so as they're in the discovery process, the county says no. So that one fell through. The next one was a good offer. They wanted to put apartments on it. So in the process, the county said no. That one fell through. We do have a contract on it now, which has been on it for 6 months, but we haven't taken it off the market because it's a federal contract to build a federal building. That usually takes a year and a half to 2 years. So that's still in the works, but it's a long shot. We didn't want to turn it down, but we also said we're not taking it off the market. They have a first right of refusal, so it's still actively on the market. Last week, we had another offer on it. And then they withdrew their offer after talking to the county. The county said they wouldn't let them do what they wanted to do. So eventually it's going to sell, so the value keeps, the value is based on the usage, so the county keeps knocking it down. Eventually something will get built on the land, but it hasn't sold yet, so that's, the land is still for sale. Four was a lateral move, which is find something that's already set up that we can just jump across at the same rent and move into. We haven't been able to find that. Five is a miracle. And we said, maybe there's something we haven't thought of. I think what I'm about to tell you is a miracle that we're going to be able to get into this building because I haven't found anything that we could move into. So here's the opportunity that we have. Here's the building. I have a picture of it. You might probably be familiar with it. If you'd get on 13th Street, go toward Gainesville, cross the prairie. When you get 13th Street, when you get to Williston Road, the first traffic light that you come to, Williston Road on the left, Waldo Road on the right, okay? The building is on your right. There's a little cutoff road. If you take that little cutoff, then it's right there. It says Sports Bar. Some of you might remember when it was called Art of Billiards. It was a billiards hall. Before that, this is interesting, it was an office. We actually looked at this building like 15, 16 years ago, and it was an office building. I think it was before we bought the land, but it had no rooms bigger than like a 10 by 10, had two little tiny bathrooms, the cost, and the roof was bad, several things. It was like, well, so we didn't pursue that. All right, so I've always had that in the back of my mind, that building's not going to work, okay? But since I looked at it, I'm going to show you diagrams. They have expanded, somebody put in new bathrooms, they put a new roof on the building, they put new air conditioning units in the building, and they opened it up. They took out all the walls. So now it's way different than what it was. Okay, that's the side view of it. Everybody know the building? You're familiar with it? Okay, there's that, it's dark, right? The bottom is dark brown, and then there's a black parapet wall that goes around the edge of the roof. It's like a facade. And it's falling apart, and it looks ugly. All right, so that's the building, the address, if you want to put in your GPS. Hopefully, when you leave here today, go drive in the parking lot, look at it, pray over it, think about it. 4251 Southwest 13th Street. Now, so in case you want to write that down, we'll leave that up for a second. Now, here's what it looks like now. This is, again, one of my wonderful drawings that you see. I used a ruler this time. Oh, and I have my thank you. Yes, I will sell this to the highest bidder at the end of the service. So here's the layout of the building. This is 13th Street is here, and this is that little cutoff road, right? So this is the front door. This is where the front door is. So this is the way it looks right now. This is, you know, a room with an opening into the rest of the building. This is a wall right here. This is a little office. This is a little office. This is the men's room, has a handicap, and it has two other stalls. All right, the ladies' room is back here. It has a handicap, two other stalls, two sinks. So the rooms, they took the two little ones and turned it into three, and then they added one back here. They took out all the divisions in there, and so it's basically open. These are support columns. These are pillars, all right? I'll show you how those are going to work out later. So that's the way it looks. This is a little cooler that sticks out the side of the building. This is an old kitchen area. Currently, there's a huge wooden, like a mahogany bar right here with sinks. So there's drains and there's water supply right here. This is the entrance. There's an exit door here. There's an exit door in the back. All right? So that's the way it looks right now. The next slide is what we did. We looked at it, thought about it. How do we make this work? And we got a contractor in. We want to change that black facade and take the it's all falling. It's like plywood and particle board, and it's falling apart. We're going to take that off. The plan is to put corrugated metal, like shiny, bright corrugated metal. Go back to the first picture, if you would, of the building. Okay, so you see the column in the middle where it says sports bar and then the black stuff. That's all going to be, that's kind of like a new look. You see a lot of new buildings are built with the corrugated metal. It's actually very inexpensive, so it works to our benefit. It's very durable. It's not going to rot. So we put the corrugated metal up with vertical seams, and then we take that center part where it says sports bar. We have a new logo. I didn't plan this, so next week I want to show you a logo that Jenny designed for us a while back. Where it says sports bar, it'll say Victory Church with our new logo. Put a nice color in the background, probably put an accent. Want it to pop, to look sharp, to look youthful. Again, our core demographic, we want to reach young families, right? So we don't want it to say, you know, this is, you know, 200-year-old church. We want it to say, welcome, we're here, we're contemporary, we're going to meet you where you're at. So we're going to think about that with everything that we do on the design. So that front's going to pop. All right, let's go back to where we were. Okay, so we met with the contractor. We're going to have to pull a permit, take off that facade, put the new metal up, and he's going to put the walls. Now, a lot of the work, I'm going to give you the figures on what it's going to cost. This cost assumes us doing pretty much anything that we can do and only paying for stuff that we can't do, licensed contractor or electrician, so forth. So it's us doing a lot of the work. Are you already getting excited about the whole thing? All right, good. So here's what we've got. Same entrance right here. We'd probably fix that up a little bit. Now, you remember there was a wall here, so that wall has to come out, and there was an opening here. We're going to close that off. So when you come in, this is a huge lobby here. And this would be potentially a coffee bar. We probably, you know, we'll still have free coffee like we've always had. Maybe put that here. Maybe put some couches and chairs. So you have a nice social area where people can hang out, you know, buffer between coming in. You still have the men's room. You have two offices here. Okay, so this is a huge lobby area. Then, so we fill in that wall, continue with this wall, and where these support columns are, they become the back of the sanctuary. Okay. So we run a wall through those columns and two double entry doors, soundboard here in the back, and the stage will be over here where the bar is, which since there's water and plumbing, we can actually put a baptismal right in our thing, and it's already plumbed and ready for that. So this would be our stage. We'd, you know, have monitors like we have now up high. You have the ceiling is about a foot and a half higher than what we have now, so it's a good ceiling. Now it's not 20 or 30 foot, but it's not 8 foot either, so it's good. So we have some height there, and it's black acoustic tile, so that's pretty much ready to go. We can run our wires through there, run our lighting through there, so that works well. So this still is the little kitchen area, and the little cooler could be a storage room, put our tables and chairs in there. So this would be seating. So this would be our sanctuary. No columns in our sanctuary. Some of you are disappointed about that, because some of you like to, I know you like to hide behind the columns and, you know, look around the columns. Unfortunately, you have to bring your own column here, because we're not going to have them there. So the columns are going to be in the back part of the wall. And we can... We could actually, as far as attendance goes, this building, the way we've got it designed, can handle three times what we have now. Right now we run about 85. We could easily do 225 with one service. Then you go to two services, we could go to 450 or 500. So just the way it is, one service, we can triple our congregation. So that's the bang that we're getting for our buck. Nice open seating here. Okay, so we've created this wall, Then we create this room, so these walls have to go up and light it, and move the thermostats and so forth. This becomes the 3 to 5 year old room. This is the 6 to 12 year old kids church room, and then you have an exit over here. This is the entrance into the sanctuary. This will be like a kids check in over here, so you can go to 3 to 5, 6 to 12 year old. Then you got the ladies' room, so you got a hallway, and then you got 0 to 2 nursery over here, so we have to create all these. So we have to put up a wall here, we have to put up a wall and a divider. So we got the cry room like we have now, so we have a nursing mother's room, they can go in there and they're gonna be able to see the service on a monitor. Then you have 0 to 2 nursery here, so you have a soundproof wall here, another soundproof wall here, you have a hallway, and then you got kids' church here, you got 3 to 5 year olds here, so we got 4 kids' rooms. They'll all be bigger than the rooms that we have now. The sanctuary will be bigger than the one we have now. The lobby will be much bigger than the one we have, and we have 2 offices instead of 1. So everything's a step up. In fact, the square footage on this building is 6,300 square feet, which is the same as the building that we designed to put on the land, interestingly enough. So the deal on this is that at first, he was like, okay, here's what we pay for rent. Here's what he wanted 4 times. Then he came down to 2 times. And this is why we've been working so hard on negotiations. We got him to come down to the same amount we're paying now for a year.
Wow.
And then it goes up a little, and then it goes up a little, and it's not till the 4th year that we're paying the amount that he wants, which is still, after 4 years, that's still the best deal I've ever found in Gainesville for over a year. I can't even match that. And he's coming down to meet us where we're at. That's why I say that's a miracle.
Yeah.
And I just see God in this whole thing. And so the realtor, the last exchange that we had, I sent him an email, telling him that the elders, approved it. And he sent a little email back, and he signed it. He usually, Howard Freeman, realtor or whatever that, he said, "Your friend, Howard." And then when I talked to him, and he said, "I mean that." He says, "I'm your friend, and I'm looking forward to what you're going to do with that building. That's why I made this deal happen."
Yeah.
So God moved on their hearts. Basically, what I could pick up from him was the people that own it were not happy with what the building was being used for, and they... I don't know that they're Christians. Howard's a Jewish man, but he likes what we're doing. He likes us. He likes the concept of our church. I mean, we talked to him, looked at some properties with him 15, 18 years ago, and I just believe God moved on these people's hearts to, they're not giving it to us, but they're giving us a deal that's just unbelievable. It's just it's something we can live with. We couldn't make a deal that was like, to go from where we're at to double day one, give me 4 years. That's no problem.
Right.
And so I've been asking you every week to pray, and I really believe prayer allowed us. That's why we've been negotiating for 2 months, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and we've got a deal that we can live with. Okay, so all this work that has to be done obviously is going to cost money. It's going to cost $55,000. All right, that's for the contractor to do what the contractor can do. Electricians have to do what they can do, and that's us doing pretty much all the manual labor, and that's Mac saying he's going to do a lot of the cabinetry and carpentry work. So we're assuming some people can paint. How many can paint and put down carpet squares and, you know, hammer nails and help them? So this, you know, Celebration Church in Jacksonville. How many of you know Celebration Jacksonville? It's an ARC church. I know those guys. I've worked with them, and I've talked to them a couple years ago. We were talking about how they launch churches. So they have the main campus, and I think they have like 15, maybe 20 other campuses out there. And their budget to renovate a building, just basically what we're doing, the startup budget is $250,000. That's what they plan on spending to renovate a building. We're going to do it for 55, right? This is, you don't get any cheaper than that. But it's assuming that we're going to do a lot of the work. So, it depends on how you look. Is that a lot of money, or is that easy for God? I mean, it just depends on how you look at it. I mean, is it an incredible deal? Absolutely an incredible deal. Is it going to be a great building for us? We have a 10-year, here's the deal. You're not going to believe this. We have a 10-year lease. We have the option to purchase for $400,000 less than they were asking for the building. We have the option to purchase at any time during the 10 years. We also have the option to leave at any time. So I wanted that because I want all our doors open. How do we know? Maybe we want to build on the land. Maybe we sell the land and we want to add on to the building. Maybe we're going to put money in it and we love it. We love the building. We want this building. All those options we have. They can't sell it out from under us. They can't kick us out. I mean, God has just given us an incredible deal, and what we have to do is we have to come up with $55,000. So what I've done, the ushers have some cards. They're going to pass them out right now and hand one to everybody. I want everybody to look at the card. So how do we raise $55,000? What's the deal? What our plan is to go to contract on this building on October 10th, and then we would immediately start working on it. So I told them, I said, we need time to raise the money. Give us 30 days. So just go ahead and pass them down the aisle. Everybody take one and look at it. So I'm not asking for an offering today. I'm asking you, I want you to take this card home with you and pray over it. I'm asking you to ask God to tell you what to give. So what it is, this is not a legal document. I'm not asking you to sign it. I'm asking you to let us know so we can see where we're at with this. So it's a pledge card. And what it says, I for sure will give, and I put for sure in there because I don't want you to say, well, you know, maybe if I win the lotto or if, you know, if such and such. We can't bank on that. I need to know for sure. I will for sure give and put a dollar amount in there to Victory Church by October 7th. So that's a month from today. It's 4 Sundays from today. By October 7th. So you say, well, I got this deal going, and it's gonna happen in November. So don't put it down there. You might tell us, well, I think I can help you in November, but this is what we need to know for sure. This is what I can give by October 7th, and this will be over and above my regular tithes and offerings. So don't just count, well, I would normally give this much in the next month, so I'll put that. No, because we still have to operate in the next month, right? So this is over and above your regular tithes and offerings. And just print your name. Don't sign it. It's not a legal document. I'm not going to come after you if you don't do it, but you understand what we're trying to do here as a leadership and see where we're at as a church. So all I'm asking you to do, take the card. Don't fill it out now, because I don't want you to be like, oh, I'm all, you know, or feel like you're under pressure. No. Take it home and pray about it. Get together with your, you know, your spouse or whatever you need to do and pray about it. Bring it back next week. If you don't have an answer by next, bring it back the following week. Obviously, Next week, there'll be people, there's people that aren't here today, they'll be here next week, and I'm not going to give the whole explanation. We're videotaping this, and so people that aren't here today can watch it during the week and know where we're at, but we'll give them a card next week. So within 2 weeks, we should have a good idea on where we're at. How many of you think we can raise $55,000? I don't think we can. I know we can. I know we can. In my mind, it's done. I mean, I see it done. You say, where do you get that? Hebrews 11:1. Look at this. I mean, the Christian life is a life of faith, right? Now look what it says. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. I'm sure. I am. I'm sure we can do this. It would be great if you got on board with me and you said, you know, in your mind, have faith. That's what faith is. Faith is the assurance. How many of you are sure we can do this? Believe it. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We haven't seen it, but I'm convinced. You know what? I was just thinking, praying about this. It's like, wow, you know, can we do that? And the Lord was saying, you can if you believe you can. All things are possible to him that believe. And it just came in my heart, and thinking about it, was we haven't come this far to quit now. We're in our 20th year, 19 years. We've led almost 2,000 people to the Lord. We're down here in Micanopy. We want to be in Gainesville. And now is not the time to quit. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 10 says this, verse 38. But my righteous one, how many righteous ones we got here? That just simply means you've given your life to Christ, and now you have his righteousness. My white righteous one shall live by what? Faith. By faith. By faith. Christianity is a faith walk. You shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, and this is what the Lord said, that don't shrink back now. Don't shrink back now. Go for it. If he shrinks back, my soul, God speaking, my soul has no pleasure in it. God likes us to dream big. God likes us to reach out. God likes us to say, we can do it. Okay, it looks like we can, yeah, we can do it. God likes that. It gives his soul pleasure. But we are not, and that's us, you know, we are not those who shrink back to destruction. Would you just say that with me? Just read that. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction. And I really thought, if we shrink back, if we don't take this opportunity, you know, then we're just, who knows? You know, I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. We've had this dream. We didn't come down here to stay here. We thought it was going to be 1 or 2 years. Now we've got this opportunity, this first one, and we've got it's a miracle that it's come together. And now it's up to us to not shrink back, to believe, to move forward, to pray, to believe, to give as much as God puts on your heart. We are not of those who shrink back, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Again, why? Because the souls are worth it. Because the souls are worth it, because that's our mission. That's what God's called us to do. And this is the Father's business, like what I shared about a couple weeks ago. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first God's business, his kingdom, and his righteousness, and all the things that we need will be added unto us. There was a time when Moses took up an offering. Now, you know that in Israel, they had the tithe. The tithe is a tenth of our income or increase that goes to support the ministry. Alms, there's three types of giving in the Bible. Alms is to help the poor. And then there's the offering. Offerings, primarily, the first offering that was ever taken was to build a building, build a sanctuary for God. And here it is in the Bible, right here in Exodus 36, verse 1, it says, all the work in the construction of the sanctuary. Verse 5, so he told the people, we're going to build. So he didn't ask for their tithes. He already had their tithes. He didn't use the tithes. He didn't ask for alms. He didn't ask for money for the poor. He said, I'm taking up an offering. And look at this. He put out the proclamation, said, we're going to build a sanctuary, bring an offering. Now watch this in verse 5. And they said to Moses, the people are bringing too much. Much more than enough. That's my belief. That's my faith. That we're putting this out and we're saying, we're going to move. We got a building, an opportunity, and I'm putting it out. And at some point, I'm going to go, whoa, it's too much. It says, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord commanded us to perform. So Moses issued a command. Look at this. And the proclamation was circulated throughout the camp saying, let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary. Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more. Now, I don't know what that figure is, but I'm hoping that maybe we get to where I say, no, that's enough. But certainly, you know, this is how the people of Israel responded to an opportunity to bring an offering. The offering is above our tithes. And you know what? I just feel like, let's do it. So take those home and pray about it. Now, if you have questions, I particularly took time to explain this because I know there's a devil loose. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. And he would like to leave things unanswered and confusion. And I don't always do the best job explaining things, so I'm leaving room for that. I'm saying if you have questions, send us an email, send your question, and I will address it next week. I'll answer every question. Or if you don't email, then there's a phone number. Leave it on the voicemail or talk to Pastor Mike. So you can ask me after the service, but I would like to, probably if you have the question, probably it's somewhere I didn't cover everything, and I would like to answer. So maybe other people have the same question. So don't feel bad if you have a question. I want to hear your question, and I want to answer them for all of us. Okay, so if you have any questions, send them in. And you know what? I just think God's up to something. I see this. Michael's coming on full time. You know, God's getting ready. Stuff is happening. Jason is here with us today. We have this opportunity to move into the building. You know, how many of you think this is a good thing? Okay. How many will take this home and actually pray over it? How many of you believe we can do this? We can make the move. We can reach souls. We can touch people. So I think God set this up for Jason to be here because he has been so much a part of us being ready for this. Because you know what? If we hadn't tweaked a bunch of stuff we do as a church, I don't know we'd really be ready to go back and capitalize on that move. Jason, come on up. Come on up here. And everybody welcome Jason. What do you think about this move?
You know, God is absolutely up to something. I love being a part of this church from a distance because sometimes when you're in the midst of it, you're kind of just too close to the action. Does that make sense? Sometimes you can't see what God is doing until you truly step back. So I've had the opportunity to watch what God is doing from a distance for the last 4 or 5 years or so, and it's just been amazing to see God move. And I know Pastor Bell mentioned Michael Crames, Michael Foreman. Any other Michaels in the house? Any other Mikes? Okay, that was my mic check. I might have been at Disney too long this week. I apologize if my dad jokes are too strong for the congregation. But I absolutely believe that God is up to something. Tech team, can you put those 5 things back up on the board for me? Because what I see standing at a distance at what God is doing here is so incredibly amazing because 2 things. I'm going to use this... The technical term is a thingamajig, or a whatchamacallit, depending on which side of the tracks you might have grown up on. Check this out. Ark, leverage land, sell land, a lateral move, and a miracle, right? What initially jumped out to me as Pastor Bill was sharing that was man's attempts, man's attempts, man's attempts, man's attempts, something only God can do, right? God is positioning this change to be something that only He can get credit for. That lets you know you're tapped into something. You're seeing God do something significant, right? And I love how Pastor Bill shared that even 15 and 18 years ago, they were looking at this property. And even I see a diagram on the back wall there that has a layout of what the church construction on the acreage was going to look like. And what speaks out to me in that is a delay is not always a denial, right? Sometimes there's things that God says, I'm going to do in your life, but it may not happen when you think it's going to happen, and it may not happen the way you think it's going to happen. Because again, His ways are higher. It doesn't mean He's not. It just means it's going to take on a little different shape, a little different look. I know as I look back over my life through the years, I can see so many things where I was praying diligently, God, if You would do A, B, and C, then I can get here. Or God, if You would do it this way. And He's like, man, if You only understood, I hear Your heart. But I need You to take me out of the box and let me do the things that I know are going to position you for success, that are going to position you to do amazing and great things. Amen? And that's what He's doing here. He's been working all these years to position you as a church to start walking into the potential that He's put on this church and in this community. There's so much work to be done. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 9. Many of you have heard this scripture before, but I'm going to bring a fresh perspective to it in light of what God is offering us this morning and the change in the seasons that's coming at this church. Jesus traveled through the village, all the towns and the villages of that area. He was teaching in the synagogues. He was sharing God's word, right? He was announcing the good news about the kingdom. The kingdom is the Father's business. The kingdom is heaven's agenda advancing in this earth. He healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, when he saw those who needed what he had to offer, he had compassion on them because they were confused and they were helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They knew they had a need, but they didn't know what to do. Is that not the society we live in? He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few." Now, oftentimes, if you've grown up in church, you've heard that scripture taught from a perspective of like, I need bodies. Like, let's go get to work. And that's absolutely true, but it's so much bigger. God was teaching through the lens of a parable, right? You've heard the story. Parables were, let me take something that the society understood and teach through it. But the principle is so much bigger. God doesn't just need bodies. He needs your time, your talents, your treasures. Everything that you have as a son or a daughter of the Most High, he's saying, bring it to me. We've got work to do. There are people in this community, not just in Micanopy, but in Gainesville and all the surrounding communities, who need the love of Christ, who need the hope that comes with knowing him, who need the healing from their illnesses and their disease, who need something to hold on to that's eternal. Amen. They need that relationship. They need that healthy relationship. And even being on a college campus, as Pastor Bill shared, is so powerful because you have the opportunity to make an impact and then send that impact across the world. It's what allows a few people, 100 people in this room, to make a global impact. I've seen it in my own life, things that you wouldn't expect. Having grown up in North Alabama and living in Birmingham and Central Alabama for the last 12 or 13 years, it's easy to sit in your chair in your car and say, you know, God, I just don't understand how you're going to use me for a significant impact. But when you're obedient and you take those steps, you'll start seeing 6 months and a year and 2 years down the road, you'll see people that you've impacted that you have no clue. Like, I don't even know how I got to that guy. But wow, God, you did something so amazing. It may have been a social media post or whatever the case may be. Sometimes it's just being the hands and feet. It's just serving a need in the community and then having that person's life change. And it's an exponential impact. The kingdom advances forcefully, Matthew says, and it's an exponential impact because now you take 100 and you reach another 100 and that turns into 200. And each of those people reaches 10. And now you're talking about thousands and thousands of people that you may never meet until you stand at the throne of Christ. When you start giving him those crowns, you're going to see people come by who thank you for the investment you made in their life that you didn't even know you impacted. But because you were here, or because you picked up a paintbrush, or because you gave sacrificially, whatever that impact may be, it's going to have a trickle effect for generation after generation. Amen? And I love what you guys are doing here as a church because it's so significant in being able to buy into that adaptability, that flexibility. The 7 words that Pastor Bill said, I've always said, are the most deadly words to any organization. This is the way we've always done it. I don't care if you're a ministry or a corporation. When you say that, you lock yourself into a certain doom. It is a minefield ready to explode. When you look at the consumer market, you're always studying trends. You're always studying analysis. What's going to work? What's going to get our product to our customers, right? That perspective is so we can give our money back to the investor so we can show a good return. Because we have a product to sell. Praise God, it's free. We have the best product to sell, right? We have a product that every single person that we come in contact with needs. So the question is, what do we do to reach them where they're at? And that's where so many churches throughout the history of church, the last couple hundred years in this country, have struggled, is because it always starts out being exclusive. Inclusive, I'm sorry. Everybody's welcome. At some point in time, your eyes shift off the Father's business, and it becomes about, well, this is the way I like church. This is the way I want my church to feel, and it becomes more exclusive. We don't want you. We want it the way I want it, and that's always a death trap, and I love that you guys are constantly leaning into the fact that, you know what? Yes, I have my preferences, and those are okay. I grew up playing worship, so I have a preferred worship style that I would love. But I knew if I did it my way, that's not everybody else's way. So what I'm most passionate about is, God, what's your way? Your way is what's going to reach your people who need you. Your way is going to reach those hopeless and lost in the crowd, those sheep without shepherds. And so what you see in so many businesses, I don't know if you're familiar with the Panama Canal. I've never been there, maybe one day. But I've read some stories about how they built it. And apparently it was a historically tragic event to get from the inception to the completion. But when they got there, it revolutionized everything about seafare and how maritime business is conducted. But the challenge was, the day they opened it, it was already outdated. And they did renovations, and the moment they opened after the renovations, it was already outdated again. They found that all the time it took them to build the canal, by the time they opened it, the ships were constantly getting larger. The ships were constantly getting deeper and bigger. So they had to buy into this mentality of, there's never a finish line. There's always a next level we've got to push to. We've always got to be willing to go and inspect and say, what can be better? How do we reach what the need is out there now? They bought into this philosophy that they had to dig deeper and they had to push wider. That was the only way to accept what society needed. And I feel like that's kind of the season you're in as a church and what God's calling you to do. Each of you've got to start reaching down deep in your time with the Lord and say, God, how do I dig deeper and how do I push wider? Now, digging deeper is a little bit more introspective. It's a little more personal. Like, how do I get myself healthy? Right? So we all have an investment in this thing. We all have an investment in not only the kingdom's agenda, but the kingdom's agenda through the vision of this church. God doesn't build his kingdom by bystanders. He builds his kingdom by builders. Amen? And so you've got to start by building yourself first and making sure that you're healthy. And that's what we do here on Sunday mornings. That's what I want to encourage you. You got groups launching in a little over a week, about a week and a day. Get in a group if you haven't been in a group. It's the place that you can start inspecting and saying, okay, my life has kind of been on this path, but I know God's got so much more. And then let me just refine, let me look. Maybe it's one little area that I can tweak, and now I've got a surrounding group of people who love me enough to say, hey, you know what, I can help you with that. I may not have all the answers, but we can walk this thing out together and we can figure it out. And same thing for getting on a team here. If you're not serving on Sunday mornings, that's part of being about the Father's business. It's part about growing yourself. I know so many times it's easy to get wrapped up in, God, but I have these needs. I've got this thing that I need to have happen in my life. But I want to encourage you, when you begin taking up what the Father is passionate about, as that scripture said just a moment ago in Matthew, I'll meet all your needs. Sometimes we've got to get our focus off of our need and onto our need maker, right? When we start serving what he's passionate about, he'll meet needs that we haven't even asked for yet. And I can tell you that in confidence because we've been there. I've done that for many, many years. I have seen God move in dreams that I can only have barely enunciated to him. Like, God, this is something I've always wanted to do, but I never had to pray for it because I was so busy focused on, God, how do I advance your kingdom today on this earth? That he just started bringing things in. This whole move to Houston is not something we ever planned. The last church I was at, we were there for 3 years. That was my long-term stay. I went in telling the pastor, bro, I'm your 20-year, 30-year guy. I'm your Jonathan to your David. God had another plan. I had to be obedient through that. It was hard. The hardest thing I did was sit down with him and say, I think God's calling me to leave. It didn't make sense. There was fruit. It was a great church. It was all kinds of amazing things happening. But I knew that God, I had to be obedient to God, right? So I had to constantly be open to, God, what are you doing in me? But then the position he put us in after, Lord, help us, 3 months of unemployment and having sold our house and now being homeless and unemployed because I technically haven't signed the paperwork for my new church yet, so I haven't signed the W-2. So I'm still technically unemployed, and we just did a week at Disney. Praise the Lord. Won't he do it? But it's amazing because the place he's walking us into and the things he's doing in that community was available 3 years ago. It was one of the churches that we had heard about when we first started leaving the ministry college I was leaving. But what's beautiful about it now is they weren't ready for us then, and we weren't ready for them. I needed the last 3 years to get prepared for where we were going, and they needed the last 3 years to grow to the point that they needed the skill set that we bring. It would have been too much too soon, right? We would have gone in wanting to do X, Y, Z, but only being able to do this. And so God perfectly positioned it. Again, a delay is not always a denial, right? But we had to be willing to say, God, what are you doing? We had to dig deep. We had to say, God, continue to work on our hearts. I don't know if you know it, but pastors are real people too, right? We got problems. And I've seen so much growth in my life in the last 3 years that now prepares me for what he's about to do. And then we've got to start looking at pushing wider. This is, in my opinion, a little bit more of a global initiative. What do we as a church do to push wider, which means how do we accommodate what they're expecting? And I know that sometimes is a hard lesson to learn, a hard thing to talk about, and it can challenge some people's theology because it errs on the side of consumerism. Oh, you're just trying to make the church more consumerist. Yes. It's not all about nickels and noses, but it's all about noses. Like every nose is attached to a person who's attached to an eternal soul who needs the hope and life that we have in the good news of Christ. Amen? So yes, I want this church to be bigger. I want this church to fit more people. I want this church to have a bigger impact, not so that we have more money, so we have more salvations, we have more life change. As you said, Pastor Bill, that we win souls and make disciples. Yes, I want to win more souls. And that requires constantly adjusting, constantly tweaking. The way you're doing it now, even the way you're doing it, praise God, in November and December when you have your first service in that building, it's not the way you're going to do it in 2 years or 3 years. You have to constantly poke and prod and change those things. Part of this appealing to culture we see in 1 Corinthians 9. We see Paul saying, though I am free and belong to no one, I have right to do whatever I want to do. I've made myself a slave to everyone so that I can win as many as possible. I gave up my preferences. I gave up what I could do for what I should do. I gave up what I could do for what the kingdom is calling me to do, because this is bigger than us, guys. Though I'm free, to the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. And what does that mean? Okay, Paul was not a Jew, right? He didn't understand that culture, but he learned it. I'll give you a great example. So the church we were at the last 3 years was, I'm not even going to say 99%. Other than the four of us, it was all African American. We're not black. I don't know if you can tell that. We're not. I'm a little too pasty for that, and Disney proved that with the sunburn. But what we learned in those years was everybody sees through a filter, right? You have life experiences, regardless of what race, color, background, socioeconomic, you have a background that I need to understand. Because when I can understand your filter and I can see through that filter and speak through that filter, I can get the message of Christ to you in a way that it touches you, in a way that if I just came to you and said, Michael, you need to get saved. Get out of my face. You're crazy. But if I understand where you've been and say, listen, you had a fight with your wife this week, and I know y'all been having a really hard time. I've been there too. I'm like, you might have had it on the way to church. Who knows? I mean, get in the car. It's time to go. That feels a little fresh. I don't know why that feels fresh. I'm just saying. But if I know that about you and I'm building that filter, I can come to you and say, man, I know it's a tough time for you right now. How you doing, man? I've had fights in my relationship too. We build that common bond, right? So that's what Paul is doing. You say, I learned and I understood what the people I was ministering to needed. Not that I became that. I'm still not black. I mean, I tried to get the moniker Bishop White Chocolate to take on, but it didn't take very well. But I understand so much better the history, the way moms and dads in that culture interacted in a way that I didn't interact, right? And it allows me to not only empathize, but tailor my message to reach the need in the heart. Amen? Yeah. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself wasn't under the law. I put myself in a position to reach what was needed so as to win those under the law. What a powerful concept. So we have a society around us, especially in college. There's a culture in the kids coming in college that, frankly, at 38, I don't understand anymore. There's a culture that we have to not only learn, but be able to ebb and flow in. We don't become that culture. I love that you're going to be having church in a bar. I love it. Now, it used to be a bar, but, I mean, you're having church in a bar. It's going to be fantastic. There's a culture there. So everybody who's been visiting that pool hall, visiting that sports hall, is now going to see the name of a church. Just because that's a place they're comfortable with, they may step in one Sunday. Right. You've got to understand, what was it that they were going in after all along? Why go hang out at a pool hall? Because you have fun. You build relationships. Oh, guess what? We have a place to have fun and build relationships too. Why don't you come get in my small group? You can hang out with me. Why do you go to a bar? Sometimes to have fun, build relationships. Sometimes it's to drown a hurt. Guess what? We have a place that you can bring that hurt. You can find healing. I mean, you guys are set and primed to do something amazing, so you have to constantly be digging deeper and pushing wider. And then in all of that, you have to be fueled and powered by just an exorbitant amount of faith. God is calling you to do something great, and it's not always going to look easy. It's going to stretch your understanding. But we have the best thing available to us. We have the grace and the steering of the Holy Spirit. We have the power to put our hand to something. We talk a lot about, I don't have time to really mess with people's theology, but we talk a lot about spiritual warfare. Guys, I'm a big proponent in the finished work of the cross. That there's nothing that God wants done that we don't already have the power to do. So the conversation is less about battle and more about dominion and authority. The difference is alignment. Okay, when you're out of alignment, when you're not walking in the authority that God has given you, you give that authority, you abdicate it. You say, you know what? God's given the ability to use this iPhone, but I'm not going to use it. Well, when Pastor Bill or my daughter picks up that iPhone, they can do whatever they want with it. But if I say, okay, God, you've given this to me, I'm going to learn how to use it, I'm going to learn how to operate it, then I begin to do something even better. So God's given you the authority to take dominion. He's given you the victory to not only see miracles done, but to take new territory. And that's what we're doing shifting into Gainesville. We're taking new territory and saying, God, I know this is a big step of faith, but you've already empowered us. It's a matter of us getting our minds wrapped around the fact that you've called us to do it, and anything you've called us to do, you've already empowered us to do. You're not going to call us to something that you haven't first equipped us to do. Amen? So let's start rallying around that and saying, stirring our faith. Because when you take an extreme step of faith, God does something significant. There are great rewards, great blessings, and great victories on the backside of faith and the backside of obedience. And that's the story we've been walking the last 4 months. God, I left a job with no savings. I left a job that didn't make sense to be obedient to you. I don't know what's coming, but somehow or another, here we are 3.5, almost 4 months later. We haven't missed a bill. You've provided everything in a miraculous way. And now I'm seeing the fruit of that obedience because I did it with honor and I did it with faith. And now 4 months later, I can say that there's so much more that I'm believing God for. Because it showed me, if you'll just take that step, if you'll just step out, I'll show you I'm faithful. I'm not going to show you the whole thing. 15 years ago, you had conversations on this property. I'm not going to show you the whole thing, but I need you to be obedient. Because every step of faith is almost speaking God's love language. He wants you to have a dependence on Him. And every time you take a step of faith, it causes you to lean a little bit closer to Him. Say, God, I believe you. God, I trust you. God, I can't do it without you. There's a dependence there that He craves and He loves because it lets Him know that you two are intimate and joined together. Amen? Amen. One last scripture before we get ready to wrap up. Titus chapter 2. I love this scripture. This is one you'll only find in certain translations, so I encourage you, anytime you read the Word, check out multiple translations because they each shed different light over things. So Titus is kind of, this letter is written to encourage different groups of people. Encourage the men, encourage the women. This one is encouraging, we're taking a snapshot out of an encouragement to people who are indebted to other people. It says an encouragement to slaves, but I don't want you to get the picture that we understand slavery as people who are indebted. I couldn't pay something, so now I'm having to serve you for X amount of time. And it says encourage them not to steal from their owners, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about our God and Savior attractive. That's a teaching that revolutionized my thought in how we do church and why we do church. Because it underlines it's not about me. God, it's about what appeals to the people we're trying to reach. And again, as Pastor Bill said, that will constantly change. It will constantly evolve. But the more you lean into that, there are pillars that we hold on to. And then there are methods and models that we ebb and flow in to whatever is necessary. And I believe the work that you guys have been doing has positioned you for such a time as this. Amen? And I know we've covered a lot of ground today, but I want you to feel encouraged. We don't ever want a Sunday morning to leave and it just be about vision, because you're a part of that vision. You're a part of making heaven's agenda advance on this earth, whether it's being a part of a group, whether it's giving, whatever your investment into the kingdom is. Maybe it's being a light on your job. But I understand any given Sunday that we come in here, we've got people who join us for the first time. We may not always be in a place where you feel like success is there, where you feel like I've got my relationship with God where I need it to be. I see God moving in my life. You may be at a place of like, seriously, I don't know why you're even talking to me. I need to just slip out the back door because I'm not feeling it. And that's okay, because that's what this place is for. That's what these services are for, is to be a beacon of hope for you, to let you know that your emotions and your feelings often will lie to you. They will lie to you when they don't line up with the Word of God. If the Word of God says you are called and you are chosen and you are loved and you don't feel loved, you've got to start proclaiming that word over Him, over your life, from Him, so that you begin reshaping your mind, reshaping your brain. We could go into the clinical side of how your brain and your anatomy and your physiology actually changes when you proclaim those truths over your lives. It can revolutionize how you see yourself. But sometimes you just got to do it even when you don't feel it. When you feel that depression set in, say, God, I know you love me. I don't feel it, but help me in my unbelief. We see the centurion say that in one of the Gospels. I believe, but help me in my unbelief. I believe because you said it, and I have faith in you, although I don't feel it. Help me in my feelings as I walk out this thing called faith. So I want to encourage you all across this room, if you would just bow your head with me. Because if you don't feel that hope, if you don't feel like you have what you need in your relationship with Christ right now, if you don't feel like you're at a place of just being rooted and grounded with Him, I want to encourage you that Romans 9:10 says it's as simple as a prayer away. There's no steps you have to take. There's no things you have to do. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to have acted right last night. It's just a matter of having the faith to come to Him and say, God, I don't feel worthy, but you say I'm worthy. I don't feel chosen, but you say I'm chosen. So some of you in this room have just never prayed that prayer before. You may be here just saying, you know, God, I know I need you. I feel something in this moment that I've never felt before. I feel that I need a relationship with you. And then there's others of you who maybe have had that communication and that conversation with God, and you say, God, I know I've prayed before, but life has happened, and it happens to the best of us. And it won't be the first time it probably happens. But I feel distant from you. Now's the moment you can make that prayer, and you can begin seeing God and your relationship united, closer, deeper, more impactful than it's ever been before. So whichever of those two buckets you might find yourself in, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. We're going to do the Father's business right here in this moment, and then we're going to position ourselves in prayer and fasting and whatever else the Lord lays on your heart for the next few weeks, so we can do the Father's business in the city of Gainesville. Pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I need you today more than ever before. Thank you that you've called me. Thank you that you've chosen me. Thank you for laying your life down as a payment for my sin. I ask you to come into my heart, purify me, cleanse me. I make you the Lord of my life. And I surrender all to you. Father, I thank you for each person that's in this room today. I thank you for the vision that you've put on this house. I thank you for my friend and my brother, Pastor Bill. God, continue to build this church. The local church is the hope of the world. And I believe it so steadfastly, God, that I'm speaking prophetically that you're going to do phenomenal things in this church, in the building move, in the capital raising, in the years that come. The years going forward are going to be so much brighter than anything we've ever seen before, God. Not just hundreds of souls, but thousands of souls will come to know you and come to a healthy relationship with you solely because of the investment and the obedience of every person in this room. We are a church that is submitted to you, Father. We are a church that is asking you to lead and to guide. And so, God, we celebrate with you right now the lives that are being changed in this moment. And God, we celebrate the potential and the purpose that you have laid on Victory Church. God, thank you for showing yourself in a miraculous way, in a way that only you could have done it, that only you can get credit. And so, God, we give you that credit now. With a mighty hand of praise, we celebrate you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. That was awesome. Would you tell Jason how much you love him? Just give him a hand. Awesome. Everybody give him a hug before you leave. He's really special to our church. He's a special person. Let's just pray for Jason and the family right now as they're transitioning. In a couple days, they're going to fly out to Houston and look for a home and get settled in. Father, we just pray over this family. Such a blessing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Such a heart for the kingdom. They have truly sacrificed many other alternatives in order to invest